if a car was about to collide with a building, how would you protect the building? Maybe make the outside of it stronger and harder. But, of course, you can't just protect the building and the people inside it. You've also got to protect the car and its passengers. I'm Tegan Taylor and this is Occam's Razor, a soapbox for science. And it's questions like these that drive today's speaker, Tathia Zahra, to do her research.
Whenever we think of making resilient buildings to survive disasters with minimal damages, obviously strong materials such as high-strength concrete, steel, or carbon fiber polymers strike our minds. Primarily because they can provide higher strength for enhancing the disaster resilience of the buildings. However, often buildings are faced with disasters which can actually create high-frequency shock waves, such as from car crashing into buildings or debris flying and hitting the buildings in cyclones or in storms, or maybe from explosions. So these disasters have been increasing exponentially because of urbanization, climate change, earthquakes, which can collapse buildings when they are not properly designed to take those seismic waves. However, all the time using our strongest material to provide protection to these disasters may not be a viable solution. Let me create a scenario to explain this. You might have seen in news that car crashing incidents are becoming very frequent. And whenever this happens, a high impact force with large energy is dissipated, which not only damages the building, but also the car, harming both occupants. Imagine if you use a very high strength shield over the building surfaces, it will, of course, protect the building surfaces from this damage. But what would be the implication to the car and its occupants? It would be highly dangerous and severe injuries could happen. So basically, I'm working on a hypothesis that materials which are used in memory foams, such as in sports shoes or in protective helmets, may provide a better alternative to this problem. Wrapping building elements with these memory foams basically sounds like a bizarre idea, but this can be possible. Obviously, these memory foams have to be redesigned to suit the building applications. This idea inspired me when I was doing PhD in masonry structures. So masonry is basically made of brick and blocks with mortar layers in between, and it's highly susceptible to disaster, collapsing and damaging. So I was looking for a material that can absorb shock energy rather than dissipating it. Energy absorption and energy dissipation are two widely different phenomena in structural engineering. Energy dissipation referred to as progressive damage of the structural element, mainly by forming cracks, and the energy is released through these cracks. Since energy is released through cracking, material erodes and it can be harmful. On the other hand, energy absorption means energy will remain stored in that material, which is protecting the building element, and it will not let it transfer to the element which it is protecting. These shock absorbing materials, which I am working on, are called oxetic materials in a technical terminology. And this word comes from the Greek language, which means that tends to swell. So these oxetic materials have a unique property. They swell in all directions when they are stretched, or they compress in all directions when they experience shock. So by virtue of their special geometry, which is called reentrant geometry, they store all the shock energy within themselves. So these materials, oxetic materials, were first developed in UK by Professor Lakes in 1987. And what he did was he converted normal packing foam by a thermomechanical process by heating them in a compressed form, and the result was oxetic foam. Since then, these auxetic foams have been used in many applications, such as for making body armors, in biomedical applications, and sports equipment. In my research, I am using additive manufacturing, 3D printing, to mimic these reentrant geometries for structural protection. So I redesign them, their cell geometries and their sizes, to suit for building application. So I use two type of polymers, PLA, which is polylactic acid. It's a bioplastic, and it's a hard type of polymer. And on the other hand, I chose a softer polymer, which is TPU, thermoplastic polyurethane. And I differ their geometries to see the impact on their energy absorption properties. When I printed these prototypes, I tested them under high-speed forces to mimic crashing impact force. And to my surprise, the results were encouraging. These geometries undertook 5,000 kilograms of force, which is much higher than a normal car weight. However, I observed that the PLA, which is a hard plastic, had some dents after testing because of its brittle nature. On the other hand, the flexible plastic performed very well. There was not any sign of damage and, you know, actually captured all the shock energy very effectively. So in my talk earlier, I gave you an example or scenario of car crashing into buildings. As an estimate, about 2,000 cars every year crashed into buildings in Australia. Damage bill, surprisingly, reached up to $40 million. Recently in Brisbane, a young woman died in an incident and the house was nearly collapsed. So what I am proposing is to use those shock absorbing pads in critical zones to protect those car crashing into buildings. I am also working on these composites, which can be used as a reinforcement within the concrete. So it will make a squishy concrete. So it will absorb all the energy. So they can protect the building as well as the car occupants. On the other hand, earthquakes are much more devastating as compared to car crashing incidents. In recent earthquake in Turkey, about more than 50,000 people died. And the devastation is spread to about 12 towns and 12 cities. Damage is huge, $34 billion to rehabilitate all those 12 towns and 12 cities. The damage pattern, which was observed in the videos, was like a pancake stacking failure. So all the buildings just collapsed vertically. This was mainly happened because the load-bearing columns and masonry walls were not properly designed to undertake that force generated from the earthquake and the shock waves. So what I am proposing is that these auxetic prototypes, which I have developed, may protect the buildings from earthquakes as well because of their property to absorb shock waves, but I still have to test that. My other area of research is concrete and masonry walls. I did my PhD primarily in masonry. So our team at QUT is developing alternative types of masonry as well. We are working on reinforced concrete masonry. Basically, in this type of masonry, we use hollow concrete blocks, which can be reinforced in their cores with grout filling. So they provide much better resistance to earthquake than normal masonry without any reinforcement. And we are also working on an innovative concept in which we are making mortarless masonry. Mortarless masonry, as the name says, other names are interlocking masonry. It is developed on the concept of Lego, where the blocks can be stacked together by interlocking lugs and keys without the need of mortar layers. So this kind of masonry, we have tested them under earthquake, and they provide a very good resistance because of their ability to flexibility move between the joints. So they absorb a lot of energy created by the earthquakes. I believe that my research and our team efforts, which they are doing for disaster resilience, could save billions of lives and billions of dollars, which countries are actually spending for rehabilitation of structures after disasters at a much lower initial cost which this material, you know, will incur for applying onto the surfaces which are critical for collapsing under earthquakes or cyclones or car crashing. Thank you.
That was composite materials engineer Dr. Tathia Zahra, who is a senior lecturer at the Queensland University of Technology. She was speaking there at our Occam's Razor live event as part of the World Science Festival in Brisbane on Yuggera and Turrbal land. And speaking of live events, Occam's Razor is coming very soon to Melbourne, Tasmania and Sydney. If you would like to be part of our live audience, and I very much hope that you do, head to the Occam's Razor website to book your tickets. I'm Tegan Taylor, your Occam's Razor host, and I'll be back here next week with more science to build on.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.